Greetings to you from our King, our brother, and our friend, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, today's Friendship Sunday, so I thought it'd be good for us to take a few moments to look at us being a band of brothers and a fellowship of friends in Christ the King. And start out, I'd like to look at that famous speech by Henry V and William Shakespeare's play. And to give you the context, the English army is in in enemy France. And then the battle draws near, and the English count their odds, and they find out that the French outnumber them 5-1. And one of the soldiers says, "These are fearful odds, and besides, they're all fresh." One of them says, "Oh, that we had but 10,000 of the men in England that are asleep in their beds today to stand with us in battle." And their hearts are melting with fear. So the king, Henry, overhearing their fears and doubts, with a brimming confidence and a cheerful smile, says to them, "What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, fair cousin. The fewer men, the greater the share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Rather proclaim it through my host that if anyone has no stomach for this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We wouldn't die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day." Isn't that a beautiful speech? Well, I want to ask you a question. Is that the kind of friendship and brotherhood you have with Christ, our King? Is that how he speaks to you and encourages you? In the same way like Henry spoke to his men because they went forth and had a great victory against the French, beating all odds. Well, today, I'd like to talk with you about being a band of brothers and a fellowship of friends under the one King who is also our brother and King and friend. Do you see Jesus Christ as your friend and your King? Do you also see each other as a band of brothers standing shoulder to shoulder against a mighty foe, ready to live together and to die together? What's God's will for his church about these things? And also, how can we build up his kingdom here in this congregation and across into the area around us by means of friendship? So let's talk about that. Friendship and brotherhood today. What does God tell us about that? First of all, do you think God tells us about friendship in the Bible? Does he have a word and a teaching about that? Let's see if he can define it for us. The Holy Spirit, speaking here in Proverbs 17, verse 17, defines it this way. He says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Then also in Proverbs 18, I read, verse 24, "There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Is that how you are with each other? What is a friend? A friend is someone who loves you and does you good all your days and not harm, and who doesn't depart from you when trouble comes. You have a close-knit bond. Your hearts are knit together. Your souls are joined and united to go through the thunder and the sunshine, the rain and the clouds, the good and the bad, to share the joys of life as well as the sorrows, to cry on each other's shoulders, to bear each other's burdens, to be true to each other to the very end, even to death and beyond. Is that a friendship that you have in your life? Would you like to have friends like that? Wouldn't that be beautiful? And is Christ, your King, this kind of a friend to you? Well, let's take a look at another place in the Bible in Genesis 2. We read in the beginning that God said to Adam, when he was all alone, he said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him." So, is it good for us to be without friends? God's will for you and for me is that we should be friends. In fact, here he creates Eve to be a companion and a friend and a helper to Adam. And then also from the woman, all the race of man came, all the people, to be friends. And God's original design is to be united, a band of brothers, a fellowship of friends, all on the earth, with God our King, and then with each other as well. So it's part of how God's designed this. When I think of great friendships in the Bible, who do you think of? Can you name some friendships in the Bible?
David and Jonathan.
They were brothers. It was forged on the field of battle. They stood together under the one God, under the one truth, under the banner of the Prince of Peace to fight. And so what a companionship and friendship they had. Anybody else?
Paul and Timothy
traveling through the ancient world together. And also Barnabas with them. You also have Ruth and Naomi. Remember that story? And they're in a foreign country. And Naomi decides to return, go back to Israel. Her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, I always want to say Oprah, but no, it's Orpah. She says, go back to your family, your country, your kindred, and I'm going to go back to Israel. Turn back, my daughters, why will you go with me? And we read that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, like betrayed her with a kiss, if you will. Ruth clung to her. Who was the friend? Ruth, because she stuck with her to the end. In fact, she said this in Ruth 1, verse 16. She said to Naomi, don't ask me to go back and leave you and return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And God do so more to me and more also, if even death separates me from you. Isn't that a beautiful definition of friendship? That you're together in life, and you're together even all the way into death. Do you have a friend like that in your life? You know, can we be friends like that and a band of brothers to each other and fulfill that longing in your hearts? How about with our King, Jesus Christ, the King? Are you a friend of His? Well, let's talk about that. Are you a friend of the King? We're talking about the King of glory, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Are you a friend of God, and is He your friend? What do you think? Does God use the kind of language in the Bible? Let me give you a couple examples. Turn over to Isaiah 41. I read verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, are the offspring of Abraham, my friend. Wouldn't you love just the God, the King, to say, my friends, when He says your name? Abraham was a friend of God. How about Moses? Turn over here and we read, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You also have in the New Testament, John the Baptist was the friend of Jesus the bridegroom. Remember when Lazarus died and Jesus said to his apostles, he said, let's go down there because our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him out of sleep. So Jesus called people friends. And in fact, the apostles in John 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants. For the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Isn't this amazing? I mean, God created everything. Everything was made through Christ and for Him. He is the King of glory. Angels fall down before Him. And yet He says, I am your brother. And I want you also to know I call you friend. In me, that is, when you come to me. Isn't that beautiful? And for your strength of faith and your hearts in this, consider how Christ Jesus, our King, has made you His friend. Now, in the beginning, Adam was God's friend. He made us in that image and for that friendship. But he forsook the friendship of God, became an enemy of God, sinned against Him. What was God's heart? We read in Genesis 6, when He spoke of man, He said, I'm grieved to my heart. God wanted friendship, and we gave Him hatred and enemy. But God, did He continue to be our friend even after we sinned? Was He friendly reaching out towards us? Look, He made Adam and Eve close. He provided for them food and water and shelter and good things. And even when we treated Him as an enemy, as the human race, He still did good to us by sending us the prophets who said things like this. Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. Walk in it. Find rest for your souls. In other words, return to me, to friendship with me, God said. But they said, we will not walk in it. We don't want to be friends. Did God forsake us even then? Even then, after centuries of rejecting him, he still practiced being a friend toward us by sending Jesus Christ. Even when we were his enemies, before we even asked for forgiveness, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to take away our sins, to reconcile us, and to make us friends with him once again. So deep is his love for you. We read here in Romans chapter 5, let me open there. Verse 6 and following, while we were still weak, helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man. You know, for your friend, although maybe for a good man you'll even die, it says. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more that now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So was God a friend to you even when you were his enemy? According to this, yes. When you were a sinner, yes, you were. Because he sent his son, even then, to die, to reconcile. The king, picture King Henry of England giving his life for his army. Well, King Jesus gave his life for you, the army of the Lord of hosts, to redeem you, to bring you back and make you friends and brothers, so we'd be a band of brothers with him together. And notice also, he chose us to be his friends. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You didn't choose me, I chose you, he said, to be my friends, even when we're his enemies. And so, when we think about Jesus, I want to ask, how about in your relationship with him? He's your king, absolutely. Your savior, 100%. He is the majestic Son of God and God the Son, and you're not. But is he still your brother? Scripture says yes. And is he your friend? Is that how you would describe your relationship with him, as friend? Just as Henry, King Henry, said to his men, we are a band of brothers. You shed your blood with me to be today, you'll be my brother. Be you ne'er so vile, this day will gentle your condition. You'll become a noble. And we'll look back in this day one day and strip our sleeves and show our scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's Day, together with my king. Isn't that beautiful? He wants you to call him friend. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Indeed, if Jesus is our king and our friend, what do we have to do to be his friends? Well, what do friends do? They do what pleases their friends. And they stick closer than a brother. Amen? I mean, friends don't depart from each other. Friends don't forsake and do the opposite of what they want. So what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to repent of our sins, call upon his name for salvation, believe that he died for us and rose again, and then live by doing what pleases him. We read here in John 15, Jesus says to the apostles, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So can we claim, like you tell me, can we claim to be Jesus' friend if he tells us one thing and we just go the opposite way all the time? No. I mean, that's, you know, if he tells us what to do and we say we know him, but we deny him and disobey him, we're not being his friends. We read of Abraham that his faith was active along with his works. His faith was completed by works. And he was called the friend of God. So we want to do what pleases him. Now, is that hard? Yes, it's hard to follow him. But is it easy in another sense? Absolutely. For his commands are not burdensome, but they're joyful. They're like a fresh breeze in your face by the Holy Spirit. It's love and freedom and good deeds is what he calls us to. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Think about this line from Proverbs 25. So Psalm 25 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Has the king, the majestic glory, come and shown you his own friendship, made known to you his new covenant? That's his friendship to you. And Proverbs 22 says, he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. Oh, that's so beautiful. Is Jesus Christ your king? Say amen. Amen. That's so beautiful. But if he's our king, and if Jesus is our friend and we're a band of brothers, what does he want our relationships to be like with each other, do you think? Well, if he's the king, and we, his company of soldiers, what he has designed for you in his heart is to be friends of the best sort. Peter said, lo, we've left everything and followed you, Jesus. And he says, Jesus says, if you've left house and home and brothers and sisters and mother and father and children and lands for my sake in the gospel, guess what? No, I didn't say that, but he said, guess what? You're going to receive 100-fold more. Now, in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. In other words, you follow me as your king, and you're going to be a company of the most wonderful sort. You're going to be a band of brothers. You're going to be a fellowship of friends under my kingship, united by my love. Is that the kind of friendship that you see in your life? You know, we live in a world that's pretty much devoid of friendships, don't you think? I mean, our old ancestors, what did? They went out in the fields. They worked together, side by side. They went out on sea together. They survived together. At night, you know, I mean, are they working in the home at task together? At night, they have a meal. Then they have a fire and they tell stories. They're together. Everything was, you know, there was a loneliness there too, of course, but there was a togetherness in our ancestors. How about us today? What do we do? We're sitting there in our little cell phones. Sometimes you see at restaurants, you know, a family of five people, and they're all there on their phones. They don't even talk to each other. What's going on? We live in a very lonely world. We're too stressed. We're too busy. We don't have time for friends. Oh, my goodness. Think about Facebook, even. That can be good for friends. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's Facebook. It's supposed to be face-to-face. Is it face-to-face? It's not face-to-face. Even there, you're looking at a computer screen for your friends. It's good, but it's not as good as it could be. How many cases of depression do you think, or disheartened hearts, could be cured in life if only there were friends in the person's life? A lot of people just want to go to a counselor to have somebody listen to them. They want a friend. And that would cure so many things. This is God's will for you, his church. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, men, women, etc. All were made to drink of one Spirit. You know, if you're an enemy-occupied country, and your king, Jesus, is there, and he says, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Does that describe your life? This is what God wants us to strive for. But we need to take time for that. You know, we're so stressed. We don't have time for friends a lot of times. Do you take time for each other? Well, here's what God wants us to do. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're on the battlefield, and it's thundering, and it's raining, and you're cold, and you're hungry, soldiers bear each other up, shoulder to shoulder. If you see the Navy SEALs, when they're doing their testing, they hold this log over them. All of them have to hold it up together. That's what the church is to be about. Relying on each other, bearing each other's burdens. And you know what? You guys do this. You know, we got flus going around. You call each other. You visit each other when you're lonely. You rejoice when someone's rejoicing. When someone's sad, you gather around that person and help them. And you've certainly done that with me. Could I be here after 12 years if you hadn't been encouraging me and praying for me? You bear me up and I bear you up. We all bear each other up. I carry you. You carry me. We carry each other. That's what the church is to be about as any platoon. And the king, guess what, never forsakes us. He says, they'll fight against you, but they won't prevail against you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Are there churches that are broken up and there are no friendships? And everybody's at odds with each other? To be sure. But in this church, let's go after what the Lord says. And let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and such things be put away from you. Be kind to one another, for tender-hearted, forgiving each other, as God in Christ forgave you. You think if we're on the field and it's raining and it's thundering and you're wet and you're muddy and we eat together and sleep together, you can stand at arms together and help each other? You do this. Let's do it all the more. And especially, take time. to be friends. Remember the end of A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart? No man's life is a waste if he has friends. You don't want to get to the end of your life and have a bunch of toys or money or things. You want to be surrounded by friends, and you will as we build ourselves up in these things, because we're forerunners of the coming age, an embassy of heaven and earth, brothers and a band of brothers and an army where Jesus Christ is our captain and king at our head. So, now, how can we build up the church, do you think, all around us and increase by means of friendship and bring people into our close brotherly affection? What do you think? Well, number one, God says don't go ahead and be friends with the world, because I'm at war with the world, because you're not to be friends with sin. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God, says James. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But can we reach out a friendly hand to the world and be friends with a small f at least towards those who are in need? Absolutely. But if you look at the Bible, Galatians 6, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of God, to your fellow soldiers, but especially, but also to each other. God doesn't want us to be a people who reach out only to ourselves, but to the world, and one by one. Think about how many churches reach out to thousands. They want to reach out to thousands and thousands at one time, like Peter, who saved 3,000 on one day. But how does Jesus really reach out in his ministry? You'd think he's the savior of the world. He's got 3 years to save the entire place. And how does he do it? Often, one person by one person. He goes to that woman at the well, and he says, if you ask me, I'll give you living water. He goes to down a street, and he sees a man, a short man, up on the tree. He says, Zacchaeus, I must come down and stay at your house today. And then he says, salvation has come to this house. He went to Mary and to Martha, spoke with Nicodemus at night. The disciples did the same thing and met a woman named Lydia by a river and saved her. It's one by one. You know, one time I was over there at Walmart, there's a lady that, as a cashier, she was very down. I could see she was sad. So after buying my groceries, I went back and just bought a card, wrote a little encouragement, and gave it to her. And you know what? She broke down in tears. She was just, and I almost regret it, but I don't regret it. But now every time she sees me, she breaks down in tears. Because she knows somebody cares for her. You know, this is the way God builds his church. It's one person by one person. We're to be a band of brothers, like on an army, standing together. Like this documentary I saw, Coringo Valley, where it's the hardest fighting, the worst deployments. And the army, the interviewer followed these guys through their deployment over there. And at the end of it, they said, are you happy to be going home to your family and friends? And the guy said, no, he wanted to stay and fight with his brothers. He said, well, why? I mean, you get to go home and be with your family. They share your blood. He says, my family shares my blood, but with these men, I spilt my blood. And that is a bond that's closer than any other. God wants us to bring people into that kind of a band of brotherhood through friendships out in the world, one by one. Think about this. In Romans 16, Paul spoke and said, greet Prisca, Aquila, who risked their necks for my life. And Epaminondas, Mary, Andronicus, Junius, Ampliatus, Urbanus, Stachys, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena, Trophosus, Persis, Rufus, etc. Do you see how the early church was all about friends? Third John, his letter, he says, greet the friends, every one of them. This is what God has designed for you. He wants to fill that void in your heart. But we got to go after it and take time for each other. Not be too busy, not be too stressed out to take time to love each other. We can do that in this church. We can be lifted up into such a band of brothers, the whole world will look and say, wow, what they have is what I need and what I want. This is God's will for you. And it's one soul at a time, one individual time at a time. Richard Shaw goes out and he makes flower arrangements for those who are down in spirit and lifts their hearts. Marie, his wife, helps people, handicapped children, through horse therapy. Dennis over here, he reads for the blinds. What a beautiful voice. Maya, she saves people's lives over there at the VA. And if you think of Lynn Anderson, you came here through, where are you? You came through Beth inviting you. V, you came through Dennis and Jewel. You know, it's one person at a time. Alice, you came through the Friday Fest, the people you met there. It's one person at a time. We don't want to just, we don't just be Billy Graham and save 10,000 people at one shot. That's good too. But it's one person, this person, loving them, bringing them in, showing them we care, to bring them that we might be a band of brothers, of friends, under one King, one Savior, one Lord, one baptism, one kingdom, one gospel, one way, one destiny, and one home. Is that what you want? That's what the King wants for you, and you with Him. The last thing I'll say then is this. What kind of a friend is Jesus the King to you? What kind of a friend is He going to be in your life? Remember, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave you, who will do you good at all times. This is Jesus Christ to you. He says, taking Ruth's words and turning them around, He says, where I go, you'll go, because you're my friend. Where I lodge, you will lodge. My people shall be your people. My God shall be your God. I'm with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I won't leave you until I fulfill everything of which I've spoken to you. And here, don't be afraid, therefore, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, and when you pass through waters, I, your friend, will be with you. And through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, your King, and your friend. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. In Jesus' name, amen.